7.13 Collision Cases. Case Review 1. The Case of the Volunteer Policeman. 7.13.1 Case Review. This crash scenario takes place at an intersection where two cars are making left turns and a third car is proceeding through the intersection. As you're reading, pay close attention to each car's involvement in the crash. Determine who is at fault and if any laws were violated. Keep in mind, sometimes more than one car causes the crash, even if they're not legally liable. Cars number 1 and 2 are stopped at the intersection, waiting to make left turns. The driver of car number 1 motions to the driver of car number 2 to go ahead and turn. The driver of car number 2 starts turning. Car number 3 is traveling in the right lane, proceeding through the intersection, and hits car number 2 broadside. The driver of car number 2 suffers several fractures. The passenger in the right front seat of car number 2 is badly injured. The driver of car number 3 is wearing a seatbelt and shoulder harness and escapes with minor injuries. Who caused the crash? Car number 1, car number 2, car number 3. Usually, more than one person, sometimes two, caused the crash. In this case, two people caused the crash. Car number 2 is turning left into oncoming traffic. Car number 3 should have slowed down when he sees the other cars stopped at the intersection. These drivers are not really doing anything wrong or illegal. They're just going right through the intersection. Car number 1 shouldn't have waved car number 2 on. Never tell someone to go on, even if you think it's okay. Don't direct traffic. Car number 2 was at fault. Take the video quiz. 7.13.1.1 Turning. After reading the first crash scenario, let's read more about turning and the proper methods to avoid getting into a collision. 7.13.1.2 Signal when you change direction. Drivers signal to let other drivers know their plans before pulling next to or away from the curb, before turning or changing lanes. Use arm signals or the signal lights on your car. On sunny days, signal lights may be hard to see. If the sun is bright, use arm signals as well as signal lights. Caution: even though you signal, do not automatically assume that the space you wish to occupy is clear. Look over your shoulder to check your blind spot before making a lane change. Turn on your signal light during the last 100 feet before turning, or at least 5 seconds before changing lanes on the freeway. 7.13.1.3 When changing direction. Even when they don't see any cars around, because they know a car they don't see might hit them. If you plan to turn beyond an intersection, don't signal until you are actually in the intersection. If you signal too early, another driver may think you will turn before you reach him or her and might pull into your path. If you plan to turn at an intersection, for example, which is close to a business driveway, be especially careful. People leaving that business may think you are turning into the driveway when you really intend to turn at the intersection. These drivers may pull out right in front of you. In a case like this, it might be better to signal after the driveway, but before the intersection. Check your signal after turning. Turn it off if it hasn't clicked off by itself. 7.13.1.4 Center Turning Lane. If a street has a left turn center lane, you must use it when you turn left. The center turn lane, when available, may not be used to pass another vehicle. To turn left from the street, drive completely inside the center turn lane. Don't stop partway into the lane with the rear of your vehicle blocking traffic. Turn only when it is safe. Look for vehicles coming head-on toward you in the same lane as they start to make their left turns. When turning left from a side street or driveway, wait until it is safe and then drive into the center left turn lane. Signal before moving into regular traffic. Enter traffic only when it is safe. You may drive across a center left turn lane. 7.13.1.5 Examples of left and right turns. Left turn from a two-way street. Start the turn at the left-hand edge of the lane closest to the middle of the street. 7.13.1.6 Left turn from a two-way street. You may complete the turn in the left lane of the cross street, as shown by arrows, if it is safe to do so. You must use a left turn lane if there is one. A left turn from the next lane may be made if signs or arrows show it is okay. Right turn from a two-way street. The automobile is turning correctly. It began the turn in the lane nearest the right-hand curb. It will end the turn in the lane nearest the right-hand curb. Do not swing wide into another lane of traffic. 7.13.1.7 Right turn. You may start a right turn from other than the far right lane only where pavement or overhead markings show that using that lane for a right turn is permitted. 7.13.1.8 Left turn from a two-way street into a one-way street. Start the turn from the far left-hand portion of your side of the road. 7.13.1.9 Left turn from a one-way street into a two-way street. Start the turn from the far left-hand portion of your side of the road. The automobile should turn into the lane shown by the arrows. 7.13.1.10 left turn from a one-way street into a one-way street. The turn must be started from the left-hand portion of the road. Watch for bicycles between your vehicle and the curb because they can legally use the left turn lane for their left turns. 7.13.1.11, right turn from a one-way street into a one-way street. After starting your turn in the far right lane, your turn will end in the lane nearest you. Sometimes signs or pavement markings will let you turn right from a lane next to the far right lane, shown by an asterisk. 7.13.1.12, turn at a T-intersection from a one-way into a two-way street unless otherwise marked. Through traffic has the right-of-way. You may turn either right or left from the center lane. Watch for vehicles and bicycles inside your turn. 7.13.1.13, other types of turns, right turn against a red light. Make a full stop for a red traffic light at the limit line, if there is one, or before entering the intersection. 7.13.1.14, left turn against a red light on a one-way street only. Make a full stop for a red traffic light at the limit line, if there is one, or before entering the intersection. On a one-way street, you may turn left into a one-way street where traffic moves left if there is no sign which prohibits the left turn. If the light is red, be very careful that you do not interfere with pedestrians, bicyclists, or vehicles moving on their green light. 7.13.1.15, no turn against a red arrow. A right or left turn may not be made against a red arrow. 7.13.1.16, legal U-turns. When you make a U-turn, you turn around and go back the way you came. 1. Make the turn only from the far left lane on your side of the road. 2. If the street has a center left turn lane, begin your U-turn in that lane, provided there are no vehicles to your left. 3. At an intersection, unless a no U-turn sign is posted. Before you make a U-turn on a divided highway, be sure you won't drive over or across any dividing section, curb, or strip. This includes 1. Double lines marking a center divider, except through an opening provided for turns. 2. The unpaved median in the middle of the freeway. U-turn in a business district. No person in a business district shall make a U-turn except at an intersection or on a divided highway where an opening has been provided. This turning movement shall be made as close as practicable to the extreme left-hand edge of the lanes moving in the driver's direction. U-turn in a residential district. No person should make a U-turn when any other vehicle is approaching from either direction within 200 feet, except at an intersection when the approaching vehicle is controlled by an official traffic control device. Unobstructed view necessary for U-turn. No person shall make a U-turn upon any highway where the driver does not have an unobstructed view for 200 feet in both directions along the highway and of any traffic thereon. 7.13.1.17, illegal U-turns. Never make a U-turn on a highway by crossing a curb or a strip of land or two sets of double lines. You may not make a U-turn, 1, where you cannot clearly see in each direction because of a curve, hill, rain, fog, or other reason, 2, where a no U-turn sign is posted, 3, when vehicles may hit you, 4, on a one-way street, 5, in front of a fire station. Never use a fire station driveway to turn around. Anytime you're turning, follow these simple step-by-step procedures. 1. Signal to let others know of your intentions. 2. Move into the proper lane from which to turn. 3. Yield to oncoming cars and pedestrians. 4. Complete the turn into the proper lane. 7.13.2. Case review. Case review 2. The case of the driver who had eyes but didn't see. This crash scenario takes place on a highway where the right lane is ending. The car needs to merge left into the next lane. As you're reading, pay close attention to each car's involvement in the crash. Determine who is at fault and if any laws were violated. Remember, sometimes more than one car causes the crash, even if they're not legally liable. Car number 1 is in the far right lane of a highway where the lane is ending. Car number 1 doesn't notice the arrows on the road pointing to merge left. Car number 2 is in the middle lane, and car number 3 is in the left lane alongside car number 2. Car number 1 all of a sudden realizes they have no more lane and puts on their left turn signal attempting to change lanes. They roll down the window and start waving. Car number 2 and 3 speed up, not allowing car number 1 to merge left. Now car number 2 and car number 3 are alongside of car number 1, giving him the evil eye. Car number 1 accelerates, attempting to pull out in front of car number 2. To avoid a collision, car number 2 swerves over into car number 3's lane, causing a collision. Car number 2 and car number 3, having crashed, pull off to the side of the road to fight and exchange information. Car number 1 drives away laughing. Who caused the crash? Car number one, car number two, or car number three? The answer is car number one. Car number one caused the crash because their lane ended. We covered yielding the right-of-way earlier in this course. Car number one had no more road. Car number two and car number three should not have sped up. Whenever you can avoid a crash, you do it. It's the same scenario as pulling out of your driveway. If this was your driveway, you wouldn't just pull out and force people to stop. When your lane ends, you need to slow down. It's like leaving a football game. There are 10,000 cars pulling out of the parking lot onto the highway. Sometimes you have to stop and merge with the other cars. You must wait for somebody to let you in. 7.13.3 Case Review. Case Review 3. A case of too slow, too fast. This is a picture of a small country road going uphill with a solid yellow line on the right-hand side of the road. There's a van full of rock and roll musicians coming back from an all-night concert. It's about 6 a.m. in the morning and they're impaired. The van is driving extremely slow, causing traffic to build up behind them. Two cars have been following this van for the last 15 miles. There are about 18 people in this van, the road crew and the band going up this hill 10 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour speed zone. Car number one and car number two have been behind this van for the last 15 miles. They're saying, "What's going on? We can't stay behind this van any longer." Finally, car number one says, "I'm going to try and pass." Car number one pulls out to pass. As car number one pulls out, car number two speeds up, of course. There is an unwritten law that you have to speed up and take the place of the car that was in front of you. As they start to pass, car number one sees another car coming head-on straight at them from the other direction. That's why there is a solid yellow line on their side of the road, no passing zone. Car number one, not being able to pass, tries to squeeze back into the lane, but car number two has closed the gap between themselves and the van, and there is not enough room. Car number one and car number two, having crashed, pull off onto the side of the road. The van pulls over to see what happened. Who's at fault? The answer is car number two. Here's why. This is considered a rear-end collision. Anytime you're hit from behind, the driver who hits you is at fault because they're not leaving enough room between them and the car in front. Car number two should have maintained at least a 3-second gap between themselves and the van, or at least 2 seconds. In this scenario, all the drivers contributed to this crash. The driver of the van should not have been driving under the influence or impaired. The van should not have been going so slow, impeding traffic. Car number one should not have been trying to pass where there's a solid yellow line. Car number two should have maintained a gap of at least 3 seconds between them and the van. When you have a space in front of you, don't close the gap. Always keep a minimum 3-second gap between you and the car in front. 7.13.4 Case Review. Case Review 4. The Case of the Invisible Pedestrian. This is a picture of a small country road going uphill with a solid yellow line on the right-hand side of the road. Two cars are following the bus up the hill. A third car is approaching in the opposite lane from the other side of the hill. It is mid-morning and road conditions are good. The bus, for no apparent reason, all of a sudden stops in the middle of the road. The bus driver is having a heart attack and has passed out behind the wheel. The door swings open and Pete the pedestrian jumps out of the bus and yells, "Our driver passed out. We need help." The bus is now stuck in the middle of the road. Car number one and car number two are not going to try and pass the bus after what happened in the last crash scenario. They're stuck behind the bus. Pete knows he needs to call for help. He sees a farmhouse across the street and wonders if they have a phone. He makes eye contact with the driver of car number one. "Can I cross?" Car number one gestures to go ahead and cross. Pete is distracted as he begins crossing between the bus and car number one. As he runs across the street, Pete laments never signing up for that CPR course he'd been offered. Just as Pete makes himself promise to sign up for the next course, guess what? Here comes car number three over the hill going 35 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour speed zone. The driver of car number three sees Pete too late, slams on the brakes, and skids for almost 100 feet. Car number three hits Pete so hard that he flips over the roof of the car, dead. Who's at fault in this fatal crash? The bus, car number one, car number two, car number three, Pete, the bus driver. The answer is Pete. Pete crossed between two stopped vehicles. A pedestrian must use the crosswalk at an intersection, wait on the corner until cars stop for them, make eye contact with each driver as they cross, and walk briskly across the street. A driver must always try to avoid pedestrians, but pedestrians are responsible for their own safety. Car number three couldn't see Pete as they were coming over the hill. They tried to stop to avoid Pete. This is considered a non-chargeable fatal crash. When driving a car, you must take every possible step to ensure pedestrian safety. It's a simple fact of physics. If you hit a pedestrian with a car, the pedestrian is going to get hurt. Be extra careful around pedestrians and always look out for them.